This is CICK News. This week marks Violence Prevention Against Women Week in British Columbia, a critical time for our northern communities to reflect on the pressing issues surrounding gender-based violence. With alarming statistics showing that 1 in 3 women will experience physical or sexual violence in their lifetime, today we'll hear from Bronwyn Young, a worker at the Northern Society for Domestic Peace, who's raising awareness through a powerful art installation, as well as Constable Jocelyn Foydart from the Smithers RCMP, who will discuss the law enforcement perspective on these challenging issues. Together, they're going to provide insight into the realities faced by survivors and the collective responsibility that we share in creating a safer community.
My name is Bronwyn Young.
Okay, Bronwyn, we're at the corner of Main and 2nd, and you are blindfolded, and you also have handprints on you. Can you tell me what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. So this is Violence Prevention Against Women Week, and I'm out here doing a bit of an art installation call to action, just to promote awareness and participation in the conversation around preventing violence against women.
And what is the installation?
So I'm here on the corner. I've got some different colored paints and some gloves for people who are willing and feeling brave enough to put a handprint on me to show their solidarity or to acknowledge their experiences with violence. And I'm quite impressed by people who are sharing this with me. I feel like my body is quite full of people's handprints.
It is. I'll show you the picture after, because for listeners, you're also blindfolded. Why are you blindfolded?
Because there's so much shame around violence against women, particularly for the women who have experienced violence. And I wanted them to feel that they could walk up to me without having to necessarily make eye contact or to feel that layer of vulnerability. I'll take the vulnerability for them.
And your sign says, if you have been affected by violence, leave a sign. Do you know when someone is leaving a handprint on you? Are people speaking to you as well when this is happening? Can you walk me through that?
Sure. So it's been a variety of experiences with these handprints. Sometimes it is a small town. People say, oh, that's Bronwyn. And then they come over, and I've known them from the past through my work with Domestic Peace. And we have a conversation. Other people are having conversations with my lovely colleagues who are here with me. And some are quite quiet, just want to know a couple things and then leave a handprint.
This is about awareness. It's also about visibility as well, though. But do you feel vulnerable in this situation, and kind of what's going on inside you for that?
I don't. And the reason why I don't is because as a woman coming out here to do this, I knew I needed a safety plan. And so I created some safety around me to do this in a way that was not going to make me feel vulnerable. So I give thanks to my colleagues again for being my spotters while I'm out here and helping to ensure that this is a safe experience.
Absolutely. What do you feel is your motivation for not only visibility, but also the work that you constantly do toward preventing violence against women and female-identifying people?
Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping and striving for men to step up into the conversation and to be advocates and protectors and to say something when they see something, when they hear something, and to really encourage the men around them to do better. There are a lot of good men in our community, and one of the things about violence is that it is so hidden, especially in intimate partner violence or in sexual violence. And so please, gentlemen, do what you can to help protect the women in your community.
What does that look like from the NSDP? Do you have services or even like resources or documentation for men who maybe they hear it and they think, well, that's not me, you know, I'm not violent, and that's kind of maybe as far as a lot of men go with this. Mm-hmm. What would you like them to do to go further?
Please talk to the women in your life. So there are statistics that say that 1 in either every 2 to 3 women will experience sexual or physical violence in their lifetime. So it is an epidemic. It is happening all around us. And the culture of permissive behavior around this needs to end. And I do believe that men need to take the lead in that.
Mm-hmm. I'm Constable Jocelyn Foydart. I'm your media relations officer for Smithers.
Okay, so we're at the corner of Main and 2nd here. I just had an interview with Bronwyn about really her driver's for exposure, information about violence toward women. But what do you feel like needs to change?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, first of all, so far this year, we've had 33 reported cases of intimate partner violence. So that number in itself is actually, for our community, quite large. And those are women who feel brave to come forward and share with police, you know, situations that they're in that are violent. What we're very concerned about is the number of women and families who are currently living at risk who don't feel comfortable reporting to police or live in states of violence, because the systems are not set up in a way that is incredibly trauma-informed for those survivors to come forward. So I think that this event today is really important, and this week is really important, because we want, you know, the women and children in our community who more often than men are victims of violence to know that there are an abundance of service providers in the community who can help you navigate that process from reporting to the police all the way through the court process.
Can you walk me through what you want to see changed there?
I think that when women are brave enough to come forward and then charges to Crown Council are not approved, I think what people need to realize is that actually leaves the woman even more at risk than she was in the first place. So she's been brave enough to come forward and brave enough to provide a statement to police and brave enough to say, hey, I want my voice to be heard. And then if charges aren't approved or the court process itself isn't trauma-informed, now that woman and her family are potentially more at risk now that they've reported. So I think, you know, as a community, as a society, I think we need to really, not soften the language around this. I think we need to talk plainly and transparently about what this process looks like for women and how hard it is to go through from beginning to end.
Violence against women often leads to lengthy court processes, with cases taking 6 months to a year to resolve after a report is made. During this time, women face challenges such as inadequate safe housing options, leaving them vulnerable and in even more unsafe situations. While community partner agencies like the Northern Society of Domestic Peace provide essential shelter and support, many women and families live in a constant state of fear as their abusers may be present in the community, despite contact restrictions that can be really difficult to enforce in communities this size. This prolonged and precarious situation highlights the urgent need for effective resources and support systems for survivors.
So I think raising awareness about what women and families have to go through when they do report is really important for community to realize, because those, we do need systems in our community, housing, health, social services, to be there for women and children to support them once they make that decision to come forward.
How does the RCMP actually do that meaningful outreach and have and build trust in a community? As you said, the number is 33 this year reported. We're only mid-April. And it's a very small community. It's a very tight-knit community. What is the RCMP working on as far as informing officers, but also to large policy changes?
Well, that's a really good point. So when we talk about violence against women, there's domestic violence policies, and then there's also like sexual assault services and policies. So there's actually some differences between those two. So in terms of domestic violence, one of the biggest things for police is that when a woman calls saying that they're in a violent relationship, police have no choice but to go and arrest that man, you know, for what has happened there. So right then and there and of itself, there's the issue of choice, right? So and that is set up in a way because we know that women often don't report. And then after they do report, they're often in more danger. So that's why RCMP policy is set up where you must arrest upon being called for a domestic violence call. Sexual assault services is quite a bit different. There's choice there. There's whether or not, you know, you want to go through that process or you want to report. So those two policies are different. So in terms of outreach work, we want women to know that they have options in the community if they don't want to report. And I think that that's where we rely heavily on our partner agencies to put in robust safety plans for women and children who don't feel safe to report because they feel like it's going to put them at more risk, or, you know, they don't want to go navigate that system process. It's too overwhelming for them. So sometimes starting with a safety plan through our partner agencies can be the safest option.
You know, even in the way that we're speaking about this, and I'll be frank, something I haven't shared publicly, but that I've had to report, not intimate partner violence, but I've had to report a violent encounter that I had with someone that I knew, and coming to you was a massive decision for me, and I know you mm-hmm. personally. The burden, and I don't mean to just speak from my personal perspective at all, but the burden is still on women to create safety plans and to have shelter. So when does this disparity change?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think part of this advocacy this week is also, you know, shedding a light on if you're a man in the community, you know, you're a person in a position of power, you come with privilege, that it's your responsibility as an ally to advocate and also support women, because you're in a different position and of power and privilege within society, and you know, we are not. And I think that the strength that it takes women to come and report to the police station is something that I always view as an honor. When somebody wants to come in and report to me their truth and their story, that's something that I consider a privilege and an honor, to create a safe space for that. And that is where we need to start. I think I just want the community to realize that through my work in media relations, we often share, you know, incidences where people are charged, you know, with assault and assault with a weapon, and community really appreciates that information because they want to know what's happening in community. But we don't often share, you know, the men in our community who are facing charges of assault because they've assaulted their partner, because we want to protect the survivor. That's all. That's our biggest goal. And so it's often not even talked about a lot in our community from a media relations perspective. You know, we're not sharing the names of the men in our community who have allegedly, you know, committed these offenses against their partner, because we want to protect also the survivors in the community. So I think it's just for a community to be alive mm-hmm. to the fact that this is happening in our community a lot, and it's not being reported on, but we just want people to realize that it's here and that we all have a job to create a safe space for everyone.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's clear that the challenges faced by survivors of violence are significant. Bronwyn's art installation serves as a poignant reminder of the need for visibility and conversation, while Constable Foydart highlights the importance of an informed and compassionate response from law enforcement. Thank you for taking the time to listen today, and thanks especially to Bronwyn Young and Constable Jocelyn Foydart for their time. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.